Let's turn now to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And while we have been a long time in Proverbs, 7 years in Proverbs, and while it seems like that is a long time to only be at chapter 14, yet nonetheless, every message is different. It is a tremendous amount of repetition in the book of Proverbs, as it would appear, but at the same time, a tremendous amount of wisdom for our daily life, our actual conversation with one another, our actings with one another, and our general living in the world. We are at verse 33 still. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. As you may recall, Matthew Henry says that those that minister the Word of God are to be the Lord's remembrancers. They are to not only be the Lord's remembrancers, but they are to be the people's remembrancers as well, that are teaching God's precepts and putting them in the mind of those that would hear, that which is the duties of Christianity. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. These wise men and those that have understanding will show by their speech the blessings of wisdom. It will show itself forth actually in their speech as they speak. I want to turn again to Proverbs 10:11. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So what is the mouth? The mouth of a righteous man, it's like a well of life. And again, you have a word picture there. So immediately, as you read that, you would think of what is a well of life. That is the picture of the mouth of the righteous. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20, down just a few verses. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. Now, what is the word picture here? The very best silver that you could have. That's the picture of the tongue of a righteous man. And yet the picture of the ungodly, the heart of the wicked, is worth little. Proverbs 15:2. Back just a few chapters. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. This is so much in harmony with our verse here. The tongue of the wise, the one that has wisdom, he's going to use that knowledge aright. But the mouth of a fool just blurts out and pours out anything that will come to his mind. The tongue of the wise, the wise commands his tongue, but the fool is commanded by his tongue. And Bridges says that wisdom is proved not by the vast amount of knowledge that one has, but by its right application and use. And in this study, especially this week, Linda and I were talking last evening how that It is almost as though I was able to sit and be instructed by that which I have read this week. You will be hearing much of Bridges and Manton and Calvin and Matthew Henry. And it was as though in all of that study, with all of these books laid around and reading, it was though I was in a class and they were all teaching me from the class. And I can't even describe to you what a blessing this has been this week. Wisdom will flow from the lips because it comes from the heart. Impatience. The question was asked, is there a time to keep silence? To keep silent. Yes. Impatience will most often lead to some sort of sin. Because it's just lying at the door of our lips and ready to speak when we are impatient. Some of the reasons that we looked at for silence in being careful of hasty speech. Hasty speech is very likely to be incorrect. Incorrect and imperfect, if not wholly and totally wrong in and of itself. Why? Because our judgment is sure to be mixed up, and it's all out of sorts when our spirits have been wounded. In other words, if someone says something to us and it wounds our spirit, if we become hasty in our speech, it is most likely to be incorrect. We are warned against that hasty speech. Hasty speech will also most likely provoke someone else, generally a friend. Provoke a friend. And then they, in turn, are faced with the same thing that you are. They may act in the same way, with the same hasty speech. And then the battle is on. And the floodgates open up, and things are said that shouldn't be said. Hasty speech is also unworthy of the wise and those that are strong. Because it is a lowering of yourself and a lowering in the eyes of your friends in that same regard. And lastly, fifthly, hasty speech is also condemned by God. On the other hand, a conscientious silence when we find ourselves being provoked, it's an admirable victory over that sinful nature when we keep silence. It is also a way of keeping peace and counsel, not only in the home but in the church. And it is in the same path when we do that Christ Himself followed. Now we began looking at James chapter 1. Let's turn over there. James chapter 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. This has to do with uttering all of our mind and the restraining of our speech. So on the one hand, you have the one that will utter all of his mind, and on the other, the restraining, the holding back of one's speech. We are to be swift to hear. That means we are to be of a docile spirit. We are to be of a teachable spirit. We are to be ready to wait upon God in the Word. We are to be slow to speak, and that is not to speak rashly. Especially when someone differs in opinion from us. We are to be slow to wrath. That means that we are not to be angry against those that seem to differ in opinion from us. And that's how we are by nature. If someone differs in opinion from us, our tendency is to become angry with them. And we become angry with them because they don't see whatever it is that we may be discussing or an opinion that is different from what we have. Because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have the right opinion and that they have the wrong opinion. And that's why we get so upset, because they can't see the right opinion. Now, isn't that how we are? We never even consider once that we might be wrong. The chief aim here is in the solemn hearing of the Word of God. And we're all gathered here today for that very purpose, to hear the Word of God. And as Manton says, we should consider every time we come to hear the Word of God, the high privilege that you have to enjoy that. We have that high privilege. Manton again, he says that our Savior, upon the ground of pressing them to a greater consciousness and sense of the duty of hearing, because those that have grace already will have further confirmation and increase, and those that upon a presumption and a pretense of having grace neglect the means of grace shall lose that which they seemed to have. That is, shall appear to be just nothing in religion, he says, blasted in gifts as well as decayed in grace. So those that place themselves under the preaching of the Word are going to further benefit themselves in that which they already believe. And while that those that think that they have no need of that, no need of sitting under the preaching of the Word, or do not, as Manton says, consider it a solemn privilege of sitting under the Word of God, they neglect it, and while they may think that they have so many gifts, they're just decayed in grace. They don't. They are ignorant of the state of their own heart. The question might be asked, is there no graces to be perfected and increased? When we neglect the hearing of the Word, is there nothing that we can be improved on by sitting under the preaching of the Word? Those that would neglect it are, by their neglecting it, saying that there's nothing that needs to be improved in my life. None of these graces need to be improved. Are there no affections that need to be quickened and stirred up when we neglect the preaching of the Word of God? Because I know how I am, that I need to sit under the preaching of the Word, and I need to have those graces stirred up within me. Because I know that they will grow cold, and I will become dull of hearing the further and further I withdraw myself from the preaching of the Word. is there no decay of vigor in my life that needs to be, just as we would go to the dentist and we would have a decayed tooth taken care of. You want that out of there. You want that decay out of there. And so we want it in our spiritual lives. We want that decay out of our lives. And as Manton says, certainly none need these ordinances so much as those that think they don't need them. And then that statement that brambles grow of themselves, but the vine needs props. I'm the vine. I need to be propped up by the Word of God. Those sagebrush and brambles out there just grow wild and don't need that. And he says that we can never exhaust the treasures that are in the Word of God. If we were to sit here 24 hours a day for the rest of our life, we could never exhaust the treasures that are in the Word of God. And he says that commands must be repeated to that dull of hearing servant. We need to have God's commands repeated to us again and again and again because we're dull of hearing. And we know that we're dull of hearing. When we leave here today, you won't remember half of what you heard today. It's not because you don't want to. And it may not be because you're not paying attention. It may just be because we're dull of hearing and we're so forgetful. And it's why God tells us in His Word, remember, remember, remember. Look that word up in a concordance sometime. And just go through there, the Scriptures, and see how many times we are told to remember. And when you're finished with that, go to forget not. Forget not. And the exhortation is there because we are prone to do all of those things. We're prone to not remember, and we're prone to forget. So, everyone, the sense of the meaning here, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That means that there is none that is too old. There is none that is too wise. There's none too high to be taught. To be taught the Word of God. And at the same time, one should not despise the vessel from whence the teaching is coming. And again, Manton says, didn't Christ teach His disciples by a little child? What is the first thing that we're told here? To be swift to hear. Swiftness and readiness. And I've showed you this before, and I'm going to show you again because I just looked at it again last night, and it's such a blessing to me. And it is the photograph that Brian Bradley took of the lady in the Philippines. And let me read this to you again. This lady is of special interest, for she has 7 children and walks for 6 hours to be at every Sabbath service. She hasn't missed once in the last 4 months. She walks for 3 hours to meet the church vehicle, walking over rough land and then has to get back home sometimes in the dark. She has brought four of her children with her on this occasion, as much as she could cope with on her long journey. We ask her as to why she was so willing to walk such a distance to be at the service. She responded, "I must bring my family around God's Word." That is such an amazing thing. This woman has no idea who we are, and she is such a blessing and an encouragement to me to read this, and I'm sure to you as well. She wants to bring, "I must bring my family around God's Word." That is a swiftness. That is a swiftness that is talked about here. Because to be swift is to be ready. It is to do it without reluctance. When we do it, it is to do it without reluctance. Swiftness denotes diligence in taking the very first occasion to do it. It is not in any way to decline from God's service. No declining without reluctance, and no declining. Decline is a sign of unwillingness. This readiness to serve without hesitation is shown in restraining all debates and deliberations. Because when our soul deliberateth about some duty, as Manton says, it's already neglecting it. We should not debate when God clearly commands us out of His Word to do something, or to refrain from doing something. We are to be as swift to refrain from doing what God commands us to refrain from as we are to be swift in doing what He tells us to do. And it's to be ready to do it. Like that runner that is in the starting blocks, that's just ready to go. Waiting, not for the gun in this point, but waiting for God's command. And we're to be off and doing it. Don't deliberate about it. Does that runner, when they hear the gun, and they're all in the blocks, do they all turn to one another and say, "Do you think we should go now, or how do you think we should proceed?" I don't see any willingness in that. And you would consider that, in the athletic world to be ridiculously stupid. But yet we will find ourselves doing it in the things of spiritual matters. Manton says, it is not good to allow the devil the advantage of a debate. Do not allow the devil to have that advantage of debate. Because when you pause from your duty, Satan is going to work on that hesitancy that you're pausing from. And generally, we know it to be the right thing to do. But because we don't want to do it, we will hesitate and we will debate with ourselves as to why I shouldn't do this. Don't give the devil that advantage. As Paul stated this morning, we're in a battle and we're in a warfare, and it's no joke. And it's no joking matter. And to debate with the devil, you're going down a path that is going to end in disaster. In yielding yourselves up to the whole will of God without reservations, don't allow one exception, don't allow one reserve, nothing. James 4:7, over just a couple of chapters. James 4:7. You know, so often you hear those that will use this verse, and this is one of my favorite verses. You will hear those that will say, quote, the second half of this verse, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But the first part of the verse is, submit yourselves therefore to God. We have to submit ourselves to God, then resist the devil and he will flee from us. We are told to be swift to hear. That is to be swift to hear the word of God. If it were any other way, than being swift to hear, it would be then good for us to be slow to hear. If it were any other way than to be swift to hear, it would be just the opposite of that. It would be good for us to be slow to hear. And that is not the case. It shows the value of hearing, to be glad for the opportunity. And our ear is actually the sense of learning. It is the one sense of learning. To hear the preaching of the Word. It's not to say that reading does not have its value, because it does. But while reading has its right value and its right use, it is the voice that has that secret force upon the soul. God uses the voice. God uses the voice. And we all have different voices. And just as we were sitting and we were on Tuesday evening a couple of weeks ago, and I think we were talking about Alexander Scorby and his reading of the Scriptures. And I'm sure you've all heard him. Just a magnificent voice as he reads the Scriptures to listen to. But yet God uses your voice, and he uses my voice, and he uses your voice over here. He uses all of our voices, because God gave him his voice. He gave you over here your voice, and you over here your voice. So none of our voices are to be looked down upon, because God uses them all. And he's using the voice to give out the preaching of the Word. Just as those that thought that they had more of an advantage by being Paul's disciples than possibly those of Peter or Apollos, that would consider, well, I've sat under so-and-so's ministry. While that may be a good thing, we should never despise the voice that God has raised up for you or I to hear. Matten says that reading doth good in its place, but to slight hearing out of a pretense that you can read better sermons at home, he says, flat out, it's a sin. It's a sin. He likens that, and I mentioned this last week or the week before, he likens it to blood. And blood being the essence of life, when it is in its proper vessels. But when it's out, It's hurtful, and it's going to breed disease. It shows how ready we should be to take all occasions to hear the Word of God. If ministers are to preach and they are to be instant in season and out of season, then people are bound to hear the Word of God. This swiftness to hear also shows that the contempt men should take in hearing the Word. But when you look at the excuses that so often are thrown up, their toys, their possessions, their lands, their homes, their work, their family, and so they cannot wait upon the Word of God. But look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 26, verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Now this swiftness shows a readiness to hear the sense and the mind of others upon the Word. So, what does he mean by that? That we shouldn't be so puffed up with our own knowledge, but we should be swift to hear what others have to say. Manton says, it is a great evil to contemn others' gifts. There is none so wise, but he may receive some benefit by the different handling of what he himself knoweth. It is an advantage to observe the different breathings of the Spirit of God through different instruments. Men are puffed up with their own mind, and they make a darling idol of their own thoughts. You don't have any idea what may be revealed to you through someone else that is going to be used to instruct you. Be swift to hear. That is, consider what may be urged upon you. That's how we are to hear. This also shows how we are to behave in the meetings. And I think we'll pick up here this evening. I think we'll pick up here this evening because we're going to start looking at what it means to be slow to speak. We've been looking at what it means to be swift to hear. Now we're going to shift over and see what it means to be slow to speak. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that instruction which you have given us this day. We pray, Lord, that we might be swift to hear in all of its characteristics, that we might be swift to hear, that we might have that readiness, that we might be, as it were, in the starting blocks and ready to go for the race, that we have prepared ourselves for the race. We have eaten aright. We have slept aright. We have done everything necessary for the race, and we are now ready and set, waiting for the sound of the start. Lord, may we be like this when it comes to hearing your word, and may we be like this when it comes to keeping your commands. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.